Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's our blessing and honor to be back at Maranatha this year, this month, this week. Praise God this morning.
Amen.
We're looking at the book of Numbers this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Numbers chapter 25. I've been camping out in the book of Numbers recently. It's a blessed book of scripture. You know, when you study the Word of God for so many years, and you sometimes you miss out, and you go back and read and reread and understand what the Lord is saying from the Word of God. It's interesting for us Numbers. We find the theme of this book, sojourning or journeys in the wilderness of the people of God, Israel. The key word here we find in this book is walk, or warfare, or service. It's interesting we can apply that in our life today. We are sojourning in this planet Earth. This home, this earth is not our home. We're just passing through, but thank God we have a blessed place prepared for us in eternity. But until then, we have a work, a responsibility, and a task that God has laid upon our hearts and our souls that we should preach, that we should live for the Lord Jesus Christ and be a testimony, a living testimony unto the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says in 25th chapter of Numbers, if you have your Bibles, please stand with me in honor of reading the Word of God. Numbers 25, we'll be reading verses 1 until 12. Bible says, 25th chapter of Numbers, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to come in whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down in their to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto judges of Israel, slay every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto the brethren a Midianitish woman in the side of Moses, and in the side of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And listen to the seventh verse. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel.
Wow.
And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I will give unto him my covenant of peace. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you for the Word of God that's been opened before us. We reverence you and your great Word. And we ask you now for the Holy Spirit of God to manifest His presence and speak to us from the Scriptures what thus saith the Lord to our hearing. Lord, we need to hear from you this morning. It's been a blessing this week to hear from you. And I ask thee for Christ's sake that you would one more time rend heavens for us and give us that manna for the due hour that we need. Lord, we are desperate today. We're needy people. We need to hear from the Savior. God, we need you, Lord. We ask for the anointing. We ask you for the presence of God. We ask you for the clarity that you would speak to us straight to our hearts that will impact us for eternity. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Long time ago, when I was still in school, in my young age, I was thrown into boarding school. My dad's a pastor, my mom's a homemaker, she was a teacher. She taught science, English, and mathematics, I believe, for a long time. But back in those days, I was just a child of a pastor. That really doesn't mean anything if you're a child of a pastor. You're just a child. But by the grace of God, and by the grace of God, I testify to the fact that God saved me. But during those times of my young age, I was thrown in a boarding school that took place in my life, the course of my lifetime, that has changed my life. It has brought an impact on my life. Back in those days, I was studying in a Catholic boarding school, and we were out there looking for trouble, amen? As young people as we are, we were, we always wanted to get into trouble, amen? I hate it, but that's what we are. And still, by the grace of God, I'm saved today, but there's part of me that wants to get into trouble. I hate it, but it happens. But back in those days, when I was out there, an incident took place in my life that has brought me to an awareness in my life. As young as I am in my country of India, where we have 33 million gods and goddesses, I remember many times I had a witness with my friends that we used to go to many idols and stand before them, sometimes kneel, sometimes spend a couple of hours before those idols and just to see what happens. It was interesting for me because I shouldn't be doing that as a child of a pastor. It's disgraceful for my parents to hear about that. But you know, as I said, I was a rotten, spoiled kid. I always wanted to see what they had that was different about what we believed in the church house and in the house that we preach, that we believe, that we live for, that we love the Lord Jesus. But I wanted to experience something else. But I tell you, when you do that, you're in a danger ground. Like it was said last night from the Word of God, give not the place for the devil. And there's no way, friend, that you and I should be playing or attempting to mess with the evil one. Amen. This man that preached last night, he preached about the reality and the power that has given to the devil is more powerful than you and I are. He's a spiritual being, I should say that. And back in those days, I wasn't very aware of a lot of things. In ignorance, one day I went out with my friends in the boarding school where it was nighttime in the Catholic monastery with a big old building that we sat and we started putting out some candles and we said, let me call out some spirits. I remember two of my friends by the name of Abraham and Gideon. We went together with a Hindu. That Hindu guy got us into this. And back there, I remember that evening, sitting there waiting on the spirit to show up. It was a while, the spirit didn't show up. Then it was a while, then this guy started cutting himself. Then we see the blood coming out from his body. It's obvious for us to understand these cutters are demonic. And these cutters that do all these kinds of stuff that puts them to a place and we realize that these are abnormal people. There are spirits behind people who do about this kind of work. I was all unaware. I was sitting there watching this. All of a sudden, something shows up in our room. I've never experienced anything of that in my lifetime. But I'll testify to the fact that God was merciful to me. Amen. God saved me out of that later. But thank God that night that impacted so much. I remember my friend Abraham and Gideon sitting by my side. One of them said, "Son, you get up and run. There's no way that you sit and watch this. You got to get out of this and run as fast as we can."
Right.
I remember sitting there, this Hindu gotten possessed with something, was acting weird. I remember only one voice came to me, "Get out of this place."
Amen.
Thank God when the word comes to us in our lifetime, somebody opens their mouth and says, "Get up and get out from sin." I tell you, when we read the portion of scripture this morning, when we understand the people of Israel and their lifestyle, what has happened in their course of history, the Bible clearly speaks to us that by the name of Abraham of old, the patriarch, God saved him out of idolatry. God called him up from sin. And praise God, he said he promised a people. He promised a generation. He said, "I'll love them." He said, "Those who love you, I'll love them. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you." God put a great blessing upon the people of Israel. I still believe even in this day that God of heaven has a great love for the people of Israel. I do not understand. I don't even come any closer to believing that God is done with Israel.
Amen.
I have believed all my heart that God is a God of faithfulness. God is a God of love and kindness and compassion, that He will show His mercies from generation to generation and to generation. Thank God I stand this morning, not of my own, not of my ability and all that happened in my life, but somewhere somebody was faithful in my home. Somebody was faithful in my heathen country and stayed faithful to God. And God honored it. God was pleased in it. That's how I was brought into the kingdom of God. But here, it's interesting. Bible starts off in the 25th chapter of Numbers. It says that people of Israel abode in Shittim, where the people of Moabites were. Now, when we understand the story of Moabites, or Moab and Ammon, we get a clear picture from the Bible where it was declared of their birth, which was incestuous, acts of the Lord's daughters. And we find everything about Moab was filthy. Everything of Moab was corrupted. Everything about Moab, the Bible declares, that it was a cesspool of sin. It's a washpot of God where the sin was all abounding in Moab. You may ask me, what happened to the people of Israel that they ended up in the land or where the people of Moab abode? Let me give you one word answer, and the answer is sin. When you sin, friend, you go closer and closer, deeper and deeper to destruction. Sin messes up. Sin will destroy our life. When the Bible says that the wages of sin is nothing but death. But thank God today, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
This morning I stand with you to share with you this theme of my heart this morning, that there was somebody with the zeal for the Lord that turned the anger away from the people of Israel.
Amen.
I'm here in the United States for over 6 years. It's been my blessed time of studying the history of America. When I see America and the starting times of America, how God breathed over His presence and power and the Word of God over from Wales and UK, how God manifested and how your nation has started off, founded under the Judeo-Christian principles. It's absolutely amazing how this country was built and founded on the truth, on the presence of God, being not ignorant, but being aware of the power and the presence of God. But sadly this morning, I have to say, I say that very sadly. I love America. I love Americans. If God were to call me to America, I would say, but thank God, God didn't call me to America. I've got a place to go, but until then, I have a sojourning path in this country, and everywhere I go, I have a message. I have a word that God has given to my heart, to my soul, that it's burning within me, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel of the grace of God, the truth that sets men free from all types, all kinds of sin. This morning, I will not limit the blood today. Thank Amen. God, the blood flows from Emmanuel's way. Amen. I believe with all my heart about that atonement, which is effective, that is a particular, Amen. That is a particular redemption that God has sent His beloved Son to die for me particularly. Thank God He died for you tonight and this morning, like that was preached for us. Thank God, God has given us the scripture. Praise God, what a day it was when the word of God came alive unto my soul. Friend, this morning I stand not of any of my schooling abilities, not of my degrees. Thank God somebody preached, somebody taught me, and praise God, even not just men, God sits with me, God communes with me, God comes in and stays, and He abides with me, like we find in the book of John. Oh, praise God, He abides with us, He is in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. This morning, my desire is to show why all of the wickedness, why all the ungodliness, why all the chaos that you and I see in this land. Praise God. And God is looking for one person this morning. One person this morning with a zeal, with a passion, with a heart for God that is burning, that is waiting upon the Lord, that they would receive Him, that would be filled by the help of the Holy Spirit and be used in this generation. I'd be a robber this morning if I wouldn't, if I say that I'll just wait and just be passive about things. No, sir. I have a great task. I have a great burden that God has, He has constrained toward it, I should say it properly. And I have a burden for my country. It was interesting. Last week, this day, I heard that my country is in war with China. Man, if you're in a foreign land and you have all of your family over on the other side of the earth, well, it puts a lot of pressure. Right. It puts a lot of burden. Puts a lot of care. Puts a lot of love. It's something that is indescribable. But thank God, whatever the matter, whatever the situation is, I believe in a sovereign God.
Amen.
Who has all things in control. I believe in the deity of God where He says that I need nothing. He is self-existent, self-controlled God. There's none beside Him that could counsel Him, that there's nothing beside Him that would help Him along the way. He knows from end, from beginning.
Amen.
Thank God this morning I believe in that kind of a God. As I say that, because I followed many gods and goddesses of this world. In fact, I remember sitting in my schooling when I just finished. I wanted to get into philosophy, the study of science, psychology, where I wanted to find out how I can be a blessing to my nation. But the day came in my life and God saved me. I said, there's no religion, there's no philosophy, there's no psychology, there's no study that proves and speaks like this Bible. Yeah. That this Bible is the living Word of God that is inspired, that has been it's been given to us. God breathed. Theonostas, where we understand that God has given His word for us. That's how you and I can build our lives. That's how you can build your homes. Praise God, that's how you can rebuild your country. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
In these 6 years of staying here, there was glimpses of the Spirit of outpouring of the Spirit of God that I was able to witness. That has marked my life. And somebody said this week, I want it. I want to keep it. I want to get in it. Have it for me for the rest of my life.
Amen.
That's the reason every time I speak to young people, I said, young people, when you commit your life as young as you are, you'll never be changed. You'll be satisfied with it. You won't add to it. You won't run for anything else. Thank God for the day that God has fulfilled all my longings. He has become all in all. He's the lover of my soul.
Amen.
There's nothing that satisfies me at this point except for the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that day, friend, something happened in their life. They saw, we see and understand previous chapters of Numbers. There was a prophet that tried to sell the Israelites to a heathen nation.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't allow that.
Amen.
He wasn't listening to God. He said, God, what can I say for the people of Israel? But God said, instead of cursing, he blessed Israel many times, 3 times. And we understand it got into a place in our life that we hear the word of God so many times that we just turn our deaf ear to preach anymore. We become so complacent in our lives that the familiarity has actually robbed us of truth and reality. But friend, this morning I want to share with you a man that stood for the Lord and how he did it. It's interesting. In the 7th verse of this chapter,
mm-hmm.
the Bible says, while sin was abounding in the nation, after they've sinned, the Bible says, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, saw it. We talk about a little bit about the seeing, what he has seen. You see a remarkable perception. Number one, he saw the devastating effects. There in the 2nd verse, he says, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of God, and the people did eat and bow down to other gods. What a devastation there, we see. People that have marked themselves for the God of glory have now turned against him. They're now following after the seduction that was revealed under that day. How many of we see in our generation today? How about those seductive spirits that Paul writes?
Amen.
Many have given taken heed to those doctrines of the devil, where people, even the pulpits have been robbed, where they were teaching about itching ears that have given themselves to ungodliness, unfaithfulness, disgusting things that have been going on even in the so-called churches. The gospel, they try to pollute it. They try everything in their power to condense the power of God. They try to take away from the gospel. In fact, Paul said, it's not the gospel. It's a different gospel. It's different Jesus that's been preached. It's a different Holy Spirit that has been revealed in this generation. But thank God, there's somebody that is seeing all this. Praise God for that day of Phinehas. Phinehas was a young man who saw something that was devastating effect in his nation. It's sad in our life that we see so much of ungodliness, so much of unfaithfulness, but we don't do anything about it because we're so complacent. Praise God for the day that God has shown you the truth.
Amen.
Praise God for the day that God has shown you the truth. responsibility after the truth has come to us that we never even attempt to take time to share. Sadly, that's what happened in this so-called evangelism of this generation. We not only see the devastating effect, but then we see the disobedient action. The third verse there says that Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. Because of their disobedience, God has manifested his anger. And one of the doctrines that have come alive to me in my recent years is God is absolutely holy. Studying about on the integrity of God recently. I remember studying on the subject of God being immutable. That means he never changes. And we come down to God is, we understand God does not sin, impeccable. And also we see God is impassible. That means God cannot be mocked. Whatever the situation is today, that God's people, God's elect will stay, will remain. God's elect, God's remnant, I should say properly, that we will persevere until the end. Thank God, God can keep us. God has been keeping us. And thank God this morning, as a young man as I am, there are so many temptations. There's so much of ungodliness. In fact, I have a greatest enemy within me this morning. That is the flesh that I hate, that groans, it speaks to me, it haunts me every day and night. But thank God this morning, I have a great high priest in heaven that sits at the right hand of the Father, that he makes intercession for me day and night, that he weeps for me, that he intercedes for me, that he calls on my name every day, every hour that I fall short, every time that I come short of the glory of God, there's a hand raised. Every time the accuser goes up to that throne of God and says, points out that, hey, that guy that you bought, that you redeem, is still struggling. But thank God that they will come and that God will take away my flesh. My flesh will drop and I'll rise to seize that everlasting Christ. Praise God. But until then, I've got to live, like Paul said, I've got to put my body under subjection. He said, I die daily. Friends, what a great day that I understood in my life that this dying is a continual action. I die daily. I put myself under subjection, and that the evil one, that the God would not put me away, that he would not make me as a vessel that is not fit for his service. Thank God, the day that has learned, that I'm still learning, that I would learn and continue to repent all the way until heaven.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. You saw the devastating effects. You saw the disobedient action. You saw the deficient or disrespectful attitude about the people. See, the wrath of God was already poured upon the people of Israel for that day. But yet this man by the name of Zimri and Cosbi, these young couples that were married, they sinned against the Lord in his presence. What a disrespectful attitude that was that day. How many of we see the disrespectful attitude in this generation?
Mm, yeah.
They say, no God for me.
Mm.
They say, thank God I'm going to hell. Mm. What an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
What an ungodliness. They mock his name. They ridicule. They just treat Jesus. And somebody said recently, if Jesus is going to come back again, we're going to see to it that we'll kill him again.
Right.
It's not so, sir.
Right.
That's right.
What an attitude that has developed in our society.
Yes.
Ungodliness. But you know what? This man, Vivian, saw the disappointment of God Almighty. God was disappointed. Let me show you something that he has seen in his life that has changed his life. Phinehas, when he was a young man, you don't have to turn there, but if you look in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 10, there is a small portion of scripture that has disturbed the family of Moses and Aaron.
Right.
And that has caused them to get right with the Lord as a family. It was interesting. The time comes in our lives as preachers, we think we figured everything and everything together, but the time comes, God humbles us in a place. I testify to that fact that God threw me flat on my face many times. And that's how I've learned to grow in grace. And that I've learned to be sensitive, not to grieve him, not to quench his spirit, not to blaspheme him, not to mock him, not to bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. As Christians as we are, we oftentimes tempt. We oftentimes come short and cause pain to God. That shouldn't be so. You have to be a sensitive people. We should understand the Holy Ghost is in us. When you sin, you take the Holy Ghost of God into sin with you. A holy God going into sin with us, what a disrespectful attitude that is. What a disappointment it is. In fact, we understand when we think about the holiness of God, it's not so much about God putting us away, God putting sin away. He puts himself away from sin. He puts himself sanctified that he will have no business, no contact, no place for sin. It's like God never had ever sin. He's holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. In all his doings, in all his ways, he thinks right. He does right. He performs right. His holiness is right. His wrath is right. His love is holy. His wrath is holy. It's all about the holiness of God. In fact, it's not even a character of God. It's not one of the attributes of God. It's essence. It's part of him. Holiness. He is holy. Holiness is him, friend. Never puts up with sin. That kind of God.
They
played with him in the Leviticus chapter number 10. Those sons of Aaron there, Nadab and Abihu, some of you know the story. They just went before the Lord, put incense, put fire thereon unto the Lord, which they were commanded not to do. They were just plain church, I should say.
Right.
They had not the reality, but they had the form of godliness. Like Jude writes, in the last times, mockers, pretenders will come. They act like us, they sit with us, they sing like us. Some even get on the pulpits and preach like us. But there is a distinction that is put all throughout the Word of God that God hates sin.
Amen.
And they sinned against the Lord, and the fire from above burned them alive that day in front of all of their family. Think about it. What if your family is here, one of them dies right before you? What do you do? They got strengthened that day. Moses had to shut his mouth, didn't he? He couldn't say anything. Son of the high priest died in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
God is no respect of people. No, there's no prejudice. There's no particularity.
Right.
No, sir. All are equal in the sight of the Lord. When you mess, when you tempt God, when you try to play with him in his presence, there's a cost that you pay. That's what you're paying in the nation. The wrath of God is revealed every day. It's not about wrath or come down. No. Romans chapter 1, we find where it says they gave themselves. He gave themselves to the iniquity. God gave them up to ungodliness. We see that everywhere. But we're still sleeping. We're still complacent. Not only the remarkable perceptiveness, but I want to see the rejected pastor was. He not only saw, but he rose up. We need some men this morning, some ladies this morning to stand up, aid to rise.
Yes.
I don't know about Corona being a pandemic. I see passivity has become pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest epidemic that we see in our society. Passiveness. They just say, let's wait for tomorrow. Let's plan something else. Let's come up with a new plan. Let's just wait, sit, and see what happens. No, sir. We have the written, declared, decreed word of God before us. Our standard is there. Our principles are there. The methods that whatever you need for your society, whatever you need for your family, whatever you need for your country, it's all recorded, written for us. And we sit there quietly as if we never received any mandate from God. They're happy that they're going to hell. Somebody said, "My God, I'm going to hell." What?
That's what they said.
Sleeping, absolutely slumbering, absolutely falling on their hands and sitting there as if nothing is going on, and never acknowledge that the wrath of God abides on their heads, and then one step, one breath to hell. But they just sit there as if everything's going all right. Everything's got in control, and I got my dad, I got my mom, they're going to take care of me. No, sir, that didn't work like that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that thou shalt be saved. That's what the Word of God says.
Yes.
We have never sought to a place of repentance and said, "God, I'm a sinner, I need thee, forgive me, God, cleanse me, let me repent and repent. Teach me remorse. Teach me a heart of brokenness that I will turn from thee. Let me believe in your word. Let me believe in the truth. Let me believe in your righteousness. Let me believe to the things of God. Hold them, cling unto them." That's believe. You trust him wholly. That you would lean on him. That you put, that you're persuaded. That you're moving from just convincing to conviction, friend. That's not seen in many places in this generation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sadly. Oh, but one man, Phineas, he saw. He rose up. This morning, some of us ain't going. Some of us are just sitting there as if nothing's going on. I remember getting out of my country 6 years ago. My dad said, "Son, we're going off to a different place. Now, you've lived in India for so many years. I was 18 when I left my country. When you come back, you may not have your country like this. But I'm going to pray for you, son, that you learn all that you can and come back and live. That's all I require. That's all I ask of you." With tears, he said, and I left. Every now and then I go home. Every time I go, the wickedness abounds. It grows. It challenges me. Wickedness challenges Christians.
Right.
They challenge. They outwardly. They say. They convince you that we've got everything. No, sir. I'm here this morning under the grace of God. I say, world has nothing to offer. World never has figured out anything. World has nothing but carnality, sinfulness, ungodliness, and it's taking men, women, boys, and girls to the deepest parts of sin and hell, friend. And friend, this morning, the only hope that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say this morning, let's call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's rise up and say, "God, forgive our land. Forgive us. Forgive us for Christ's sake." Some amendments, some pray for revival just because the situations are getting bad. No, sir. We need to get to a desperate place and say, "God, we want revival for Christ's sake, for his death's sake, for his blood's sake, for his love's sake, that he would show show himself, that he would manifest himself, that he would condescend upon us one more time, that we would see the Holy Ghost preaching old-fashioned, old-time religion that we find, that we don't find anymore in this generation. How many of us thirst for that? How many of us, and I told when I read the history, I see people being changed, streets being changed, drunkards, they've closed their wine shops, they put police out of business for a while. Mm. What a change in America. What happened now? Mm. See, what's happening about police today?
Yeah.
Huh? But he saw. He arose. But number one, we see he revolted. We need someone to revolt about this ungodliness. We need some women to stand up. You know what it is, the problem when I say passivity? It's the condition that you are in is because you were responsible and you didn't know anything. In his day, he took care of the sin problem. We don't care, take care of sin. The sin of 2020 doesn't bother us anymore. And how come, friend, you pray? I mean, you have never taken up that responsibility very seriously. I believe God is sovereign when it comes to salvation. Absolutely, he saves. We believe in the Lordship salvation. Yes, sir. But there's a responsibility that he has laid for us.
Yes.
And friend, we are responsible in this generation that we see to it that we live our godly life. We see to it that the word of God is being heard in our hearing, in our lives, in our families' lives, in our churches, and etc. We need to hear some men that burden themselves and pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. We need some men to stand up and say no to sin. We need somebody to stand at the abortion clinics and say no more sin. Shut this place down. We need to preach against sin, live against sin, testify against sin.
Amen.
You don't see a lot of passivity. Revolt. We see the resolution. He took, reached out, and grabbed to that weapon that day. See, this word of God is our weapon. And we don't grab it. The great day in my life was the day when the Word of God became real to me. It has become part of my life. That means I cannot go about a day without the Word of God. I don't know about the food that I eat. I eat a lot of food. Look at me. I love food. I'm backwards, you know. But there's a greater spiritual food that satisfies me.
Yes.
That fulfills all my longings for that day. I need it every day. New mercies every day. That is the new mercy that we get. Word of God. Prayer is our weapon. When was the last time you ever got on your knees? We were praying the other day with Miss Lois. She was telling me, when was the last time we prayed on our knees? Where is the respect? Where is that reverence under God? I don't see hardly ever see it. Some people lay on their backs and on the front. It's not only the world-only preaching that we're hearing, it's also world-only praying that we hear anymore. It's for just to put up a show, put up what great theology God put up in performance, prayer. Sadly, no, we have the form of godliness that denies the power thereof. From such, he said, turn away, run, flee. Friend, this morning, that I understand there's a place where you stand and revolt, but there are things this morning the Bible commands us to flee. Flee fornication, flee ungodliness, flee youthful lust.
Yes.
We need to flee from certain things. And praise God, this morning, that man took a resolution that day that he said, I'll grab a hold of it. He said he took that javelin in his hand. He brought it to himself. He didn't care who was listening, who was looking. We need some men this morning that would say, and women as well, that they should say, I don't care what, who's watching, who's keeping the tab, but I want to live for God, that I will see to it, that I will mark my generation like Jonathan beside me, that they should see this man is destined for eternity, eternal things. Where is that passion? Where is that zeal in this generation? Revolt, resolution, and nasty. You see the radical approach. The more I live in this faith, the temptation rises, brother. Somewhere, you don't have to be just anal, sexual, but it has to be something behind where we're thinking on something else. Sometimes we idolize few things that really take the place of God in our life. We need to take a radical approach when it comes to sin. Kill sin.
Amen.
This morning, there's no option for us. Any place in your life, that there is any place. I'm sure, like David said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart today. He said, see if there be any wicked way. Friend, I don't know about that if today. It's not an iffy if, but I'll tell you, there is sin in our life lurking somewhere in our bodies, in our minds, in our flesh. But we need to find out. We need to, like it was said about Joshua, he pursued the land. We need to pursue God and say, God, search within me. God, search me today. Say, God, try me today. Bring sin out of my life so that I can put a javelin of the word of God and strike it, kill it, nail it, take it away, so that you can become pure, that you can become righteous in the sight of God, that you can enjoy the presence of God. How can we enjoy? How can we have the reality of liberty and freedom that we used to have, where sin lurks, where sin abounds all over the streets, when sin abounds in every aspect of America that we find, educational system, political system, whatever it is, sin abounds in America. Take a job. Take the sword of the Spirit. Prayer is the greatest weapon. I thank God for the time that God has given me. The reality and the privilege and the means of grace, which is prayer.
Amen.
I want to close this morning with giving you two. These two or three, there are more weapons that we find in the Word of God. Before I close, I want to say this. Do I have a weapon this morning? Absolutely do. Some people listen to me. Word of God, the Scripture, the Bible, is the greatest weapon you can find on the face of this earth. I don't know about any of isms, schisms, philosophy, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Word of God.
Amen.
Israel. Let me tell you, the day I came to America, in the early days, I lived with a 70-year-old man, my pastor, David. Every morning, early morning, how about 4 or 5 in the morning, I hear some voices coming out from the living room. In the early days, he was probably watching TV. He's a Fox News guy. And he listens to news big time. I thought he was watching news. And then, all of a sudden, it turned into shouting. He shouts in the house, praising God. I hope somebody got saved on the Fox News. He was shouting all that. And then, all of a sudden, the shouting was a weeping. Now, laugh, shout, and weep, that's weird. I think we're chick. I hope he's okay. So I used to open my door and go out there to see. And when I see him on his recliner, I don't see any TV on. He has his curtain open in the front door, where the sun's just shining. And he has that Bible in his hand. Oh, brother, he reads out loud. He reads it out loud so that I can hear, I guess. I hope that's what he's doing. He reads it out loud, and when time comes, he laughs. And time comes, something God ministers and he weeps over it. And just reads on and reads on for at least an hour. I peep every once in a while and then shut up and go back to bed. But time came in my life, he just continues to do that. Then you know what I said one day? One day it was so powerful that he was having a blast with the Lord. I mean, it was a great time that it was happening. I said, let me open the door, and this time I'm going to leave a gap in my door. And I was saying, Lord, whatever it is he's going through, I want it.
Yes, there you
go. I want it. When was the last time that you said in your life, oh, my dad had it, my grandfather had it, they had it. How about us in this generation? Do we have that zeal, that desire, that in the days gone by, God met them? How about us? I want to get in. I want to see the wondrous power of God again in this generation. I want it that I can take home with me. And in fact, I'm not just asking for any old power. I want a double portion of it if I can get you something. And I want it fully, that I'm persuaded that God, can he need that in the days gone by, he will do for me again. He will do exceedingly above that he ask and think for. Today, the word of God, if it was the weapon for your forefathers, it can be the weapon for you, and it is the weapon for you. And if it's a weapon for you, you pass down to the next generation, and you give it. Paul said in 1st and 2nd Timothy, writing about the four generations, he said, I've committed to you, Timothy, now give this word, take this word to faithful men so that they'll be able to teach others also. We find what a legacy, we want to find what a inheritance, the inheritance that we find in these godly men that we have around us. Praise God, let's not take anything for granted, but let's grab a hold of that weapon this morning. Praise God, the word of God is our weapon. Number two, what else is the word of God? Prayer. Great was the day I was taken to North Carolina in my life. I remember preaching for one of our alumni of our college. We were having a youth meeting there. We had over 100 people. After the meeting, a young man comes to me and he says, I love that young man by the name Bridger. He was son of a Randy Bain. You know Randy Bain. And we're in taking. He said, come on, son, I want to take him to a mountain. We went on a mountain by the name Bain Mountain. Way up there, it was so steep. They said, how are we going to get up there? I can't walk up there. It's so steep. Remember, he said, get on the four-wheeler. And we're going to go. Four-wheeler? Okay. We had about 6 people hanging on that four-wheeler. I was right in the middle. I don't know about praying up on the mountain. I was praying up already going up that mountain. And there I was, friend, on that mountain finally. Well, Brother Randy was already on that mountain. He said, let me show you something. I said, all right, brother. I went up there. For the first time, I witnessed a pile of rocks upon that mountain. I said, what is this, brother? He said, take this rock. I said, okay. So look at this rock. Yes. What is it? It represents a burden, a care, whatever it is. We're going to cast it. We're going to lay it on the altar today and pray. He said, go find your rock. And that day, friend, I remember going finding me a rock. And he said that in the years gone by, his forefathers had the same thing. The pile of the rock was so big, it must have been many hundreds of people coming up on that mountain praying. And friend, that day that marked my life, I remember it even till today, that changed my life. I said, wow, what a zeal for prayer. What an eagerness for prayer. What a thirst for prayer. I remember that day praying upon the mountain. God met with us upon that mountain. We stayed there for 45 minutes, I remember correctly. And God breathed upon us. When we went under the bushes, somewhere under the tree, on the other side of the trees, under the rocks, we could find. We just took care of business with our Lord that day.
Eight.
That kind of a prayer impacts us. We need some men and women that can pray in the Holy Ghost. It's not how my pastor always used to say, it's not, but you can never preach the power of God, man, but you always pray the power of God. Pray that God meets with us. Amen. Not many, many weapons, but thank God. Today, word of God and prayer is the weapons for us in this generation. How about it, young people? This morning, do we have any Phineas here? We need some Phineas, don't we, brother?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We need some Phineas in this generation that would stand and say, no for sin. Not, in fact, it's said in the word of God, it's interesting, the name of Phineas means the face of truth, bold aspect of the Lord. We need some bold men in this generation. We have so many cowards that are sitting around us. It disgusts me, really. What country has been robbed under your watch? He said, not under my watch. Not under God's watch. He said, I'll stand up and make sure that God would not have wrath upon me and my generation. How about it? When was the last time you said, America is my country, my people, I have a purpose to live, and that is to serve the Lord and make sure that I impact my generation? Where is the zeal? Where are Phineas's? Oh, your young girls. How about Phineas? Phineas of Phineas. Or Phineasitas. Whatever you want to call it. We need some men and women